Scott, that's JWellfire.com. Final Days Report, episode 348. Calling this VCast, Know Your Enemy, Satan's Agenda. Satan's being exposed. The dark side's being exposed that I think will bring in the Antichrist in this false light, these false solutions. You can just see the playbook happening now, part of this AI beast system. Last VCast, they're priming, positioning AI as God, as a solution provider. It'll be your doctor, judge, everything else. And it'll be positioned as good. But these videos that I'm going to share are just getting scrubbed off the internet. They're tough to find. And I woke up having evil just hit me. Maybe one day I'll give my testimony. But I ran across some serious evil. And then just started researching, you know, why the lawlessness in the United States? Why are these Satanists running the things at the highest level? Why is the FBI ignoring certain claims? Well, the FBI and many of these organizations are meant to cover up crimes for the global elite. So when I was exposed to this evil and criminality beyond anything you can think of, I started doing research. What's going on? And the internet was still somewhat free, but I highly suggest, and I put links below, really researching Ted Gunderson or sharing. If you're probably awake, if you're listening to this VCast, if you've already subscribed, send some of these videos to people that you think could become awake. Ted Gunderson files, the Clinton Chronicles, USA runs the drugs. Till this day, family members don't believe it. I was like, Iran-Contra affair, running the drugs through the soldiers of Vietnam in their coffins, Afghanistan, running the heroin. I mean, it's right in front of you. But the Clinton Chronicles really will wake people up. It's not only the Clintons, it's the Bush family as well. And they link their criminality into banks as well, giving loans that never are paid back to their buddies. It's a club and you're not in it, as George Carlin once said. And then the whole Federal Reserve Bank scam, I put a bunch of links below. But the one that really educated me at the tip of the spear is the documentary called Money Masters. I thought there was a version 5.5 hours long. The only one I could find was 3.5 hours long. And then how I became a Christian, I saw this evil. And then I started researching the Bible because I watched this documentary called, or this video presentation called, The Ultimate Lie by a doctor, a naturopath doctor, who's a Christian, who talked about the giant cover-up through the Smithsonian. And then that led me to research the Bible and apologetics and everything else. Ended up giving myself to Christ. So I kind of came through Christ getting evil in my face, and maybe again one day I'll give my testimony. Massive evil, and then just doing research and then realizing the cover up and going after the Bible on so many fronts. You know, society pushes a reversal of the Bible. The big joke is like, the Bible is here to control us. No. Because society is pushing do as you wilt. The Bible frees you, my friends. So a couple things as well, before we get into the three different videos I want to share, is we decoded the Economist 2024 cover predictions, Final Days Report episode 309. And it's kind of circling around the internet. The Mexican president with their ponytail might be the top of the Economist. It sure looks like it. So check out at sjwellfire.com, Final Days Report, episode 309. And if you're really into what the elite, the parasite elite, are saying, it's just interesting. Grimes, who I think was a girlfriend of Elon Musk, very occultish in nature, has this whole tablet thing for prophecy, and she removed nuclear war. She removed bioweapons, and it looks like she's now putting in transhumanism as in terms of the future event. But there's some interesting videos out there about the Grimes prophecy that fits the Economist magazine as well. I might do a podcast on this, but at the end of the day, you know, the Lord has warned his watchmen on what's coming. And it's on his timetable, so I don't want to put too much stock into what the elite are doing, but we need to be aware of our enemies, and we need to pray against their wickedness, and that many come to Christ that are doing evil bidding. Now, the first video I want to play reminds me of Russ Dizdar and this dark black awakening, I think is what he called it, where he had Satanists tell him it's just going to be a bloodbath and they're going to enact this army of mind-controlled zombies. And this is from, I think, 1988. The Satanist is talking, you know, he's talking frequencies through music and imagery. They want to control your minds. Now you need to think optogenetics. And what I thought was alarming about this video is he talks about the leaders of the world, knights and leaders pushing this agenda. He mentions, we use symbols. Think of all the Fortune 1,500 company logos. Many of them have occult symbolism behind it. I don't typically get into that, but if you do some research, Fortune 100 company, satanic logos, occult logos, it's like, it's witchcraft. It's absolute witchcraft, my friends. I thought it was interesting, too, in this video, when we play it, he calls the New Agers New Age idiots. He's like, this is going to be just a dark, it's going to be darkness. It's very, very cold, and reminds me of the Georgia Guidestones of their goal of 500 million mind-controlled slaves. But I wonder, in the end, if he's getting fooled, because obviously his soul is going to be trapped, and he's going to be in hell. But I wonder if the Luciferians, these white light practitioners, are going to destroy him, and he's going to be sacrificed. Kind of like, you know, communists that bring on communist governments. They're the first to get beheaded because they're traitors. Let's play this video. And again, look for some of these things. He talks about a network of knights and leaders, of logos in this witchcraft, of frequencies. Now you need to think of the nanotech poked in you that might be in our food and water, according to some whistleblowers that we've covered, 5G, 6G. He's telling you this black awakening that Russ Dizdar has warned about. Let's roll it.
We are in control because basically we are not a political organization. We are an occult organization. We're working behind the scenes to manipulate the way that people think. The war that we are waging is a guerrilla war on the human mind. And we use musical frequencies and symbolism and imagery to awaken dormant aspects of the human mind. We are interested in the control of human beings for our own purposes. The main problem is the population explosion. There are too many people in the world for there to be any kind of quality. All of the humanist values that Judeo-Christianity has encouraged, we want to wipe them out. It's led to democracy, social humanism, the idea of equality. All of this filth has to be wiped out if the human race is going to continue to take the next step in evolution, maintaining the very best of humanity and destroying weakness, destroying everything that Judeo-Christianity has succored and kept alive. We have no concern for the homeless, particularly. We don't have any concern in helping people. We're not seeking to convert people. We're going to claim the future and stamp our claws on the world to come. Then we're going to have to utilize all of the technology at our disposal. And symbolically, that is what we are undergoing right now in history, an end of the old order, an end of the old world, and the beginning of a new order. There are people connected who, if people really were aware of the network that was going on, it would probably terrify them. Banding together of leaders, of knights, of a new black order. It is a new age, as these idiots in the new age call it, but it's really... it's not anything that they think. It's not a new age of crystals and herbal teas, but of blood and thunder. That's what we're going to see. It's a storm that's rising.
Dealing with sickos at the top, my friends. Dark side is being exposed. And the next video I want to play is a bit of a classic, talking about the scam of the Federal Reserve Bank and the whole population issue. It reminds me of the Deagle Report, the fall of the West. This interview is going to be talking about FEMA camps. He's mentioning some political leaders, how they control both sides. And I had a dream, somebody I know worth $5 to $6 million, got on a train and it was run by China soldiers in civilian clothes. And so he's talking, this video I'm going to play, he talks about FEMA camps. So don't get on the train. They'll probably shut down the grid and people will be desperate for preservation, and they'll be promising certain benefits. Not stay away from it, my friends, because we know this group is provoking the seals, destroying the food supply, the destroying the old order, the way things are going, destroying the cows, chickens with BS testing to bring in their fake solutions. I mean, they're priming it. They're absolutely priming it. You follow this ministry, we cover it always. But let's roll it. I thought this was just interesting, and it's hard to find. I'm telling you, it's hard to find. It used to be super easy to find this video.
The problem is the monopoly game, which is controlled by the Federal Reserve, the private bank, which is actually controlled out of London, is manipulating all the dollars to put them out, put more and more people into debt. So the illusion of equity they have in real estate is coming apart. The players that are analyzing everything are expecting massive foreclosures next year and the beginning of what we call the recession that it's going to be worse than 29. Think your house that you're living in. You think you own it. You don't.
Right.
You have contractual right to transfer the airspace, subject to you paying taxes to the state.
Right.
Or the Global 2000 discussions that we had. The real problem that they have, as Kissinger says, is there are just too many people on the planet. And 40% of the world, 2 billion of us, exist on less than $2 a day. The summary of the Global 2000 report I put up on my website, nohopes.com. But if you look at it, it makes sense to get rid of people. So what they said, they're going to make godlike decisions on who lives and who dies. Now, obviously, some of the meetings we sat on, we were planning on using neutron bombs on the major cities because that contains most of what they call...
You actually heard this?
I sat in on the meetings. I was in the game big time. In fact, I was making such a mess... They decided rather than kill me, which they could, they just invited me into the inner group and asked me to be the finance chairman. And at that point, I probably would have been in, you know, Secretary of the Treasury or some whatever they wanted to do with me. What I was doing prior to that, so, you know, making it right, I would volunteer to become a president of a company. And I'd go in and liquidate it. And we'd get rid of the expendable containers. That was my job.
Expendable containers meaning human beings?
That's right.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's
the
inside vernacular, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, well, that's what we used at that time. I mean, it went from there to useless eaters today, so you're happy with it. You're a human resource. So,
right.
Which, you know, all you are is part of the commodity, even in the business sense. You look at it, you have a cost. Labor. What is labor?
Yeah.
Human resource.
Right.
When you're going to put together some kind of product. Well, the inside of the game, when we started to use neutron bombs, today they figure that biologicals are much cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
They're still planning on, the plan is to get a war started in the Middle East, and they're still planning on using a neutron bomb or one of the bombs that they've got developed on Israel, mm-hmm. and that's to begin World War III,
mm-hmm.
which is all in the cards. And it's going to happen. They even put a monument up for this whole program. It's mm-hmm. called the Georgia Guidestones.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
outside
of Atlanta, you know, and they've got it all set down there. It's all in 8 languages. They want it. Basically, it's fait accompli as far as they're concerned. It's just to get the thing going in the Middle East, and it's not going fast enough. I mean, Carter put this thing in, so we have the plan 2000 with the war starting in the year 2000 in the Middle East.
Right.
Reduce the population of the planet down to 500 million, have one world currency under the Homeland Security or FEMA, if you want to call it. They're going to declare an emergency, which you're going to shut down everything. Uh-huh. My friends, my CIA associates, I don't even call them friends anymore. CIA is crooks in action.
Yeah.
They're all professional liars.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to be if they have that job.
Yeah.
So you have to look at what they're doing. Anyway, they're so concerned, they're leaving the country too. Most of them are going to Latin America. Meanwhile, they're closing in. Every day right now, just closing in to make it so we're going to be set up in these enemy prisoner war camps. I published a book. It's called Chaos in America.
Mm-hmm.
In it, I was asked to build an enemy prisoner war camp. I put the contract in this book. So you can read it for yourself. This is in downtown Las Vegas, right on the railroad tracks. It says enemy prisoner war camp. They're all on top. And they're building them all the way across the United States right now. Bush signed an executive order taking the old forts and the army places that we shut down to get those organized to hold the so-called dissidents. Now, what's the definition of a dissident? And the problem is that we're going to enslave ourselves because most of the people want to keep having food coming in, and you're going to follow the line. You're just rocking yourself into your own prison camp. Then we're going to come down to the extermination, just like World War II.
Right.
Well, Phil and I have lectured together. I know Phil's not. He's dead now.
I know he's dead. And so what about what he was saying about the number of bases at that time? I think it was 129 bases before he died underground had already been built. Is that all for the elite?
Yeah.
Really?
What are they going to do with the rest of people? They just get rid of them, leave them above ground and be radiated. Now, my son happens to be a nuclear physicist.
Mm-hmm.
Spent the last 3.5 years in a secret city in Russia. They're about 12 years ahead of us. They have 22,000 nuclear warheads. And, of course, we're the target. The Soviets had 3 nuclear submarines on the West Coast and 3 on the East Coast. They're about 2 football fields away, 5 stories tall, and they all are nuclear power and aimed at our major cities.
Okay.
West Coast gone. Well, because the plan is the Northern Hemisphere is where they're going to release the nuclear bombs, and the theory was that the winds from the North Pole that are coming down, because that's increasing drastically, will go to the equator, and there will be very little spillover because of the reverse of the winds because of the Southern Hemisphere.
Okay.
So therefore, the nuclear radiation here will be a lot more than the Southern Hemisphere.
And this is a fait accompli, you believe?
Oh, they think so. Oh, yeah, they think they won. That's the reason why they don't bother about me talking about it. They don't care whether you know or not. What are you going to do about it? And you have no idea what China is until you go over there for yourself. With 1.3 billion, you understand, almost, well, a little over 4 times our population.
Right.
It's, you know, I spent some time over there with, and I had some government friends. They think they're going to, what they're going to do is let the West go have its fight. And then they want to clean up and say it's been 5,000 years. We want to run the world when we get through. And what they're doing? Acquiring all the assets.
Mm-hmm.
They figure
Canada
and the United States, the property there will, the food growing areas, will be enough to take care of their people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're looking at. Why are they? I mean, they bought
the
oil.
So the U.S. will become a resource. Yeah.
Whatever's left of it.
Whatever's left of it, you seem to be in a unique position to be able to put a fair amount of this together, which is quite interesting.
Well, I walked my talk. I played the game.
You played the game. You know one level of it.
And I know. I used to play around with the world leaders, so I know what they're planning on doing.
What change of heart? What happened in you that made you decide to share this information that happens at the inside levels?
Well, it come back to a moral situation that happened to me, I think. When I flew to Aspen, I brought my 2 daughters up there so they could go skiing. And I was invited to this meeting, when I walked into the room, the world leaders were there, and that's when they asked me to be the finance chairman. As they said, we'd like you to be the finance chairman for the next president of the United States. And the first thing I asked is, why me? And they said, well, we owe you a favor. Remember I told you I volunteered to be president of companies that
right.
I went down.
And then you liquidate,
I didn't charge them anything for it. It was just a game.
I see.
And anyway, that's what they said.
So I thought you'd be good on the team,
I'd be a team player. I just did it because it was, another one of these things. So next thing I asked him, I said, well, wait a minute. I just started this $100 million project. And they said, don't worry about it. We'll put it on ice. And I said, okay, who with? And I said, well, you can do that. Then I said the next thing was, who is going to be the next president? Now, this is 2 years before he became president.
Right.
They said Jimmy Carter, and I said, Jimmy who? And they said, well, he's the Democratic governor of Georgia. And I said, I've been voting Republican. And Paul Volcker said, son, don't worry about it. We control them both.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I got the next question. Is what does a finance chairman do?
Yeah.
I haven't been doing that. I've been playing all this other stuff. They said, will you sit down with Ted? And so I sat over with Ted Kennedy. He's sitting right next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And Ted and I are, he's just joking. He says, George, you're going to love this job. You're really good with money. We're going to send you out to all the state Democratic functions to raise money for the National Democratic Party. And he said, you're going to meet some real foxy ladies. And just then, my daughter walked in.
Mm-hmm.
Ted looked at her and he says, wow, I want to go to bed with that. I says, no, you don't, Ted. That's my daughter, and she's 14. And his response to me was, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I was livid. I really didn't know what to do.
So it was that moment.
Well,
that
wait a minute.
Insult.
That was part of it.
Yeah.
I got up. I walked across the room.
Yeah.
I then talked to Pierre Trudeau and his wife,
mm-hmm.
who was the Prime Minister of Canada at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting in front of them with a little half cigar box full of white powder. No, I'm looking around the rest of the room. I said, my God, something hit me at that point. If the world leaders have to resort to this, I don't think I want to be part of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even to the pollution and getting everything else, they're talking about getting rid of all the other people. I mean, I was raised in a packing house and slaughtering animals, and you get to the point where people are just animals at that level. And then I found out a little bit more about the details of the Plan 2000, of the annihilation of the entire planet. I said, I got to stop these people. There's something there. I mean, it's just,
yeah,
they got to be stopped.
The next video I want to play is very, very graphic. And it's somebody that got out of the satanic occult. And I know this is real. I know a psychologist who's told me of some of their clients being SRA victims, satanic ritual abuse victims. And the stories I've heard are horrible. I've encountered two witches doing, I don't know, a ritual with candles in a circle outside of where I was living. Just recently, this last year, I don't think I've told this story. I could not sleep one night. And it was like 3:30, 3:40 in the morning. Walked outside just to get some fresh air. And somebody was across the street on the sidewalk staring at the house with a 6-foot wooden pole. Didn't seem like a natural walking stick. And I just rebuked him in the name of Jesus Christ. But it just seemed odd. I wondered if I ran across a warlock. And then I think I mentioned this before. I was a state park ranger in college, like a summer seasonal state park ranger. We did a lot of patrols, that sort of thing, in the campgrounds and different day use areas, the beaches. And it was a pretty busy park. I think it was the fourth busiest state park revenue-wise in the state of Michigan that has some beautiful beachfront state parks. But there's 40,000 acres at this park, and we would deal with conservation officers who really were tough men that would deal with poachers, you know, people out drinking, people out that were hunting illegally. Oftentimes, they were by themselves. And at a couple occasions, I talked to the conservation officers, and they were freaked out because they ran across satanic ritual sites. Broken mirrors, bones everywhere, massive amount of footprints. They're like, this isn't a little one-off teenager thing. They said this was an event. This was a ritual event. Stone altars. I mean, the fear that they had. There must have been some spiritual demonic presence there as well. So this is real. And, you know, I think about this. I think about some of the Satanists that are bringing us down, and just the demonic nature of the first video that we saw and the second video, really. My question is, how were these people abused as kids? And I pray that they're exposed. I pray that they come to Christ. I pray that the evil falls back on their head, the judgment falls back on their head. That, right, it's God is the ultimate judge in the New Testament. But it's all being exposed. And again, I think this darkness is being exposed. And then the Antichrist will come in and clean up and be this false light hope. Let's play this. And again, this is very, very graphic.
Hobbes was initiated into a satanic coven as a child by his grandfather and continued participating for many years. I recently asked Glenn about his involvement and the importance of Halloween to the occultist.
Well, my involvement in satanic worship was I was involved in it as a child. Of course, I was a generational Satanist, what they call a generational Satanist. And what that means is that my family was involved in it and their family before them. Now, my earliest rememberings of Halloween and some of the things that were involved was it was a very dark time for me as a child. It was something that I didn't enjoy.
Glenn, could you tell us about your involvement in any rituals at Halloween as a child?
There was another little girl that was involved in the occult with me, and her name was Becky. Now, Becky was a different type of child. She was blessed to be a sacrifice. I was being blessed to be a high priest, where she was being blessed and born into the coven there to be a sacrifice. Now, we were in a ritual where we were married together. It was a marriage to the beast. And me and the little girl were married together, and there was a lot of sexual abuse that took place and a lot of blood that was spilt over us, joining us together.
When do Halloween rituals actually begin, and what is the ultimate purpose of Halloween?
Well, the ritual that I remember the most clearly began about the end of September. Me and the little girl, the one I mentioned named Becky, the abuse was very concentrated at that time. We were taken into several rooms where our clothing was removed. We spent the next couple of weeks in a kind of a shack where a lot of rituals went on, where a lot of animals were killed. They summoned Lucifer and his spirit to come and possess me, and so that I would be blessed to take over the position of the high priest at a certain point in time. Now, Halloween night, they had again put me and the little girl in the back of this van, and we again drove off, which seemed like for a long time. We were drugged once again, and we finally came to this stop. They took the little girl out, and they left me in the van. I could hear a lot of commotion that was going on outside. People that were screaming and yelling and this low murmuring and moaning noise that was going on, like some kind of a low chanting noise that was going on. So I knew in my mind there was some type of a ritual going on, because I'd heard that many times before. You know, it was real common to see people fall on the ground and convulse and go into convulsions during rituals and stuff with the demonic presence that were around. And finally, a woman came to the back of the van, and she said, "It's time to go." And she brought me out of the van, and I could see that there was just a lot of people around. Some were dressed in dark brownish kind of robes with hoods over them. They took me up and they led me up to this stone altar. And I remember I saw the little girl, and she was on the altar. Now, at first, you know, I just wondered what was going on, because you never knew. I mean, they used the altar for a lot of different things. They could have just been sacrificing an animal over, could have been a sexual abuse from the high priest onto her. You know, it was a hard thing to know for sure. Well, they finally ushered me up to the altar, and I could see that they had bound her feet. They had her feet spread apart, her legs, and they had bound them to the ends of the altar, and they had taken her arms, which were laying out this way, and roped them to the altar, which had little kind of like hooks which they could bind the ropes around. And she was really white. I remember seeing her, and she was just real pale and real white. And I noticed that they had slit the bottoms of her feet and her wrists, and they were taking the blood that was running out of those areas and putting them into chalices and passing those cups around to different people who were partaking of her blood. Then the high priest, he took the athami, or the ritual knife, and he picked it up and he put my hand on it, and then he forced it into her chest. So when I think back on Halloween, you know, over that period of time that happened, you know, that was the climax event, Halloween night, where they killed that innocent little girl. And this is something that's happening every Halloween. That's not just an isolated event. I mean, there are children all over the world who are losing their lives during Halloween night, and yet we, as a society, we go out and celebrate it, and we go door to door and we ask for candy, and it's a big celebration to us. And I think it's quite ironic how one group of people are thinking it's fun and another group of people are taking human life. And yet they don't, you know, there seems to be this wall and nobody wants to face the facts of what's really going on.
So you think about the three videos that we played. These are the so-called parasite leaders that are bringing in this new world order. They're priming the seals. Seal one is about mind controlism, this nanotech as the days of Noah devil juice, hooking you up to the hive mind. We wrote a book about it. Seal one is open, that primes the fourth beast system. That's the last beast system, the last empire. This iron mixed with clay, or I like to say graphene oxide mixed in you, the seeds of men will not cleave. It's always been about a DNA seed war. Seal two, I think, has something to do with this mind controlism technology baked off of Seal one, where it'll be neighbor against neighbor. And many scholars think it's communism, red, right? The red army. I think it could be maybe a combination of both. Seal three is inflation. I mean, we're seeing that now. And then Seal 4 is World War III, famine and pestilence. I mean, they're destroying the food supply. They're just destroying everything. Destroying the bees, pollinators, destroying the shipping lanes. It's chaos, my friends. They're doing it. And then in Thessalonians, right, they're like, you haven't missed the rapture. You will see the Antichrist. It's a warning to Christians. So if you think you're going to get raptured out of here with a preacher rapture, no, you're going to see the Antichrist. And after the Antichrist comes on the scene, there'll be 3.5 years. And I was listening to a scholar who I like. He's a pre-tribber. And he said, Daniel 12 is a pre-trib rapture chapter. It really is not, because you need to use proper hermeneutics to compare scripture with scripture. And it warns about Christians, the elect, being beheaded. And it warns that you need to survive for 3.5 years. And so I moved from a mid-trib rapture, which doesn't bother me, to a post-trib rapture, because the mid-trib rapture says that many will give their life to Christ. Many will give their lives for Christ and not forsake their belief in Christ. So it's just, to me, a matter of timing, how long you're going to have to wait it out and be guided by the Holy Spirit. But it's just interesting. Let's read Daniel 12 a bit, where once you see the Antichrist in this beast system of worshiping, you're going to have to survive a certain amount of time frame. And it says in Matthew 24, for the elect's sake, for Christians' sake, no flesh would be left. Christ needed to come back. But let's read. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. Time, times, and half a time. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter, who? The Antichrist. He shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people. All those things shall be finished. I've had a couple dreams, Christians living out in the woods in abandoned cars, walking, being chased by wild animals that were remote controlled. I mean, there's some wild dreams I've had since becoming a Christian in 2008. And that's the only reason why I'm doing this Watchman News ministry, because if you don't blow the trumpet, the blood of the people are back on your head. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end, so end of days. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, right? We go through tribulation, so we are tested to have a testimony, to rely on Christ, put our faith and love on Christ. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Be wise, my friends. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, I did a podcast about the third temple. I'm not a believer in a physical third temple in Israel, because it's not holy. And the daily sacrifices were done away with because Christ was the fulfillment of the ultimate sacrifice, your faith in Christ. And so if it's not based on Christ, is it holy? Is it really an abomination? That's what I'm just saying, because you as a Christian are the temple of God, and you need to give yourself as a daily sacrifice to Christ. And if they defile us with this nanotech, this optogenetics that cuts you off from Christ, especially if you worship this image, when they turn it on, the quantum mechanics with this artificial intelligence system, we always talk about the fake Trinity. Go back to the last podcast we did about the fake Trinity, turning you into a wireless body area network, turning you into this hive mind when they do that with the Antichrist, then you're going to have to survive it for 3.5 years, in my humble opinion. And many of us will give the ultimate sacrifice for the king. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. But this is interesting. There are two different sets of days here. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. Bible talks about a certain time frame of the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And then all of Israel will be saved. So that to me is that time frame with the Antichrist on. And then it's that last great and terrible day of the Lord, his wrath, just like what happened with Lot and Noah. Boom, just like that. Those that are in are in. All of Israel saved. Those who are out are out. And I do think a remnant of Jews will be saved when you read Zechariah. But a remnant. And we will be here, my friends. Great time to be alive. Have no fear of this. Have a passion to save souls. And if that's not your thing, share this VCast. Maybe write, if you don't want a social media footprint of doing it, maybe write some letters, old school letters. Help us spread the word, my friends. God bless. God bless. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter. And thank you for your support.